views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to challenge conventional beliefs about what's possible in creating health, wealth, and happiness. You are listening to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. This hit show is providing you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. It is time to open and expand your awareness, accelerate your well-being, as Megan shares wisdom, teachings, and experience from a lifelong journey of the heart. Enact the power of radical change with ease and lift your desires to a new perspective. Now, here's Playing on the Edge Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm Megan Edge.
Hey, and I'm Dr. Pat, and this is a fabulous show we have planned for you today. One of the things I love, Megan, is that, you know, we are taking on some topics that not only provide, you know, an absolutely stellar perspective on what we need to do to change and change with ease, but it also takes us to the edge of our emotions. You know, it takes us to the edge of what we're capable of sometimes. And I think that's what I love so much about this. You know, you're a master healer. You are somebody that has been out in the world, not just for yourself, helping others, teaching others, and then being part of a circle of healers that is committed to looking at and taking the conversation forward in a time where we're so plugged into what we do, how we do it, when we do it, and also what we don't do. But today's show is on the edge of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, healer, healer, mother. Let's take a look at this for a minute. And, you know, this is an important show from many perspectives, but it's really personal and important to you, isn't it?
It is. And as I was sharing just before we went on air, I've got my box of Kleenex with me. The healing work that I do, Pat, it always comes from my heart. And that's what I teach all my students as well. And it's what I encourage my clients to step into, is to lead in everything that they do from that beautiful heart space. When I thought about this topic for our show today, I knew I was onto something because of my own emotional response to it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our listeners and audience know that my older daughter is in a healing crisis right now. And part of what I've been struggling with, beyond what it's like to watch one of your children be in pain and to not know what's going on, is to really step back and look at modern medicine and what modern medicine offers us, energy medicine and older ancient types of medicine and what they can offer us, and then how to build a bridge between the two of them. And then for me, very personally, how do I build the bridge between being a healer out in the world, capital H, looking after other people's healing journey, and then also be mother, capital M, for my beautiful daughter who needs me so much right now. So this is a very personal show, and I'll do my best to get through it. But as you said before the show started, you've got my back, and I know that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
I find sometimes, and that's part of what we're going to talk about today, is that, you know, some of the things that happen to us along the way to being us, you know, become historical in so many ways,
mm-hmm.
and yet become hysterical in so many ways, right? But one of the things I think you and I talked about, which as women can be very challenging, and that is to fully embrace who we are as healers and healers in the world. Let's take a look at where we were and what this journey has been like for women in history to really say yes to this, because this is not a yes for the lighthearted. You know, if we take a look at women in throughout time, you know, going back even thousands of years, you know, saying yes to be a healer / woman healer, healer woman, and then look at us as mothers and mother healer, healer mother, you know, we are saying yes to something that really requires a level of perseverance and persistence that you just don't get born with it. You have to develop that to really stand tall. What is the history of this as women? What have you learned?
In all of my studies, and this goes all the way back to when I did women's studies in university, what I was looking for in history was examples of what I knew to be a truth, that women have been far more visible in their communities than the history books would let on. And I really wanted to find these women. So part of my studies when I was doing women's studies was to look at women throughout history and to find the hidden her story of what women's roles have been and what their expectations have been throughout time. And I was thrilled to discover that the modern 20th century view of women as second-class citizens is not actually supported throughout history, and especially our roles as healers, as priestesses, as physicians. And there are numerous, numerous famous women. If you start Googling it, you'll find tons and tons of examples, Hildegard of Bingen being one that pops to mind right away, the Sibyls from the Greek times. There was a college in Italy in the 9th century that was a women's college for women physicians. And women came from all over Europe to study and learn not just women's medicine, so not just reproductive medicine, but all medicine. Mm-hmm. And what I think is really interesting about the modern 20th century perception is that if women are allowed to practice medicine, then they should practice women's medicine, not just general medicine. But even that historically was taken away from women when the male doctor, the male physician came on the scene. So that even up until very recently in Canada, and I'm not sure about the States, you'd have to check on that for me. Mm-hmm. It was actually illegal for women to be midwives, midwifery as a science, sort of the last medicine that was left to us at the end of the 19th century had been taken away. And midwifery, women helping other women give birth, was illegal. And women had to fight in this country to have midwifery become part of the medical system. I did a little bit of digging before the show, and I thought it was interesting. When I looked up women healers, mm-hmm. or women doctors in history, what I found was a whole lot of documentation about the first licensed female doctor in Canada and the first licensed female doctor in the United States. And the doctor in Canada, her name was Emily Howard Stowe, and she was around from 1831 to 1903. So we're talking very recently, within the last 150 years. And the first licensed woman doctor in the U.S. was Elizabeth Blackwell, and she practiced around the same time, 821 to 1910. These two women had to fight. They had to fight so hard to get into medical school, because at that point it was the bastion of men and men alone. They had to fight to be in those classrooms. They had to deal with so much derision coming from the male population, the male doctors. And yet they persevered, and they really blazed a trail for modern female doctors in both the United States and Canada. But they were not the first female healers. You know, the history of that goes back as far as we have archaeological records for. And it's something that I really think is so important for both men and women to recognize that that history is there, or that her story, if you want to call it that. And that it is more than just Dr. Mom. It's more than just Dr. Mom knows to give Robitussin cough syrup, if you remember those commercials. And as you say, it isn't just that women are born to be healers, that it is something that we have to develop and we have to grow. There's an interesting body of research that is currently showing that women physicians offer a different kind of care than their male counterparts. Not all of them, and I'm not doing a wide sweeping painting, you know, of either or. But there does seem to be some evidence that the way in which women innately show up as nurturers and caregivers, a lot of that being what we were taught, and that's our expectation, allows us to offer a different kind of healing modality and healing methods in both mainstream medicine and in alternative energy healing.
Yeah. What I love about this, you got to ask the question. I mean, this is going to be shocking to a lot of people. Are we surprised? No, no. You know, are we surprised that when we trace the history and we go back from when time and when things were recorded, we can see what has shown up in terms of healing, wellness, both body, mind, and spirit wise. And yet, we're really hard pressed in the world to acknowledge women in that role in an official way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it many times over in our pop culture, yet we've seen women, especially women, brilliant researchers, you know, that have discovered cures for things, right? Mm-hmm. Really, you know, having to be acknowledged for that. But we're now living in a different time where whether you're a man or you're a woman, you are now struck by the rise in disease, the lack of understanding of new versions of illness, right, mm-hmm. that has come along. You know, many of you have heard my own story about the mystery disease. And I think that what we're starting to see now is we need more of innovation, collaboration, and intuition. Do women bring that to the forefront?
I really believe they do, Pat. And without trying to stereotype, having been a healer now, calling myself a healer for the last 12 years, having been very active in women's spirituality, in feminist studies, in women's history throughout my entire life, there is a certain nurture versus nature. And I feel like the differences that are evident between males and females at a very base level are evident when we see women stepping into roles that, at least within the last 200 years or so, have not been considered feminine roles. That we begin to see the capacity that women have to be more than the homemaker, more than the mother. But I say that very carefully, because at no point do I want to diminish how important it is to be the mother, to be the person who is holding the household together. I've seen lots of men step into that role and do amazing jobs with that. So again, I want to be very careful about how I'm creating what could be considered stereotypes. But the fact of the matter is that certainly as a healer, the vast majority of the people that come to me to learn how to become healers are women. The vast majority of people who come to learn my intuitive energy massage are women. We have one male practitioner. He's a sweetheart, an absolute bear. I love him. And my client base, those people who are stepping into their own healing journey and wanting to make these changes and make these differences in their life, are for the majority women. So what's happening here? You know, what is it about the healing journey, about personal growth, about self-empowerment and autonomy that attracts women to doing their own healing work? What permission is granted to them in our culture that it's easier for them to step into that healing path than it may be for their male counterparts? And what is it about alternative medicine that is attracting more and more women than there are male healers of the alternative sort?
Yeah.
But at the same time, what's interesting is that at least in Canada, since the 1970s, the number of women who are doctors in Canada has gone from, I think it was 30% in the 1970s, to almost 50% today. The distribution across the medical field isn't equal, but the number of women who are graduating as doctors is now 50% here in Canada. So yeah, something's happening.
I want to ask you about this, because I love talking about this. Something is happening. And what I think is happening, and let's talk about it, I think it's a natural flow for women to step into a role they've had most of their entire existence, pretty much, right?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes we talk about this as if this is like a new thing. I think it's a returning to home thing. What do you think?
I think it's a couple of different things. Yes, I believe it's a returning to home in a sense that we get to walk a path that we can be really good at if we have received the nurturing that we needed as children, and we can get paid for it. Mm-hmm. We can be valued for the contribution and our own learning and our own education and our own time commitment to this path of doctor or healer, and get paid to do this work, as opposed to the doctor mom scenario, mm-hmm. where doctor mom, but mom is not making $100,000 a year wiping snot off of her children's noses.
Right.
And staying up with them all night with fever. And at a certain point, doctor mom is expected to hand over authority and expertise to the doctoring world and step back as the primary caregiver mm-hmm. of her children.
Yeah. One of the things I want to hit upon here real quick, and let's go ahead and skip the break if we could. A number of years ago, I made a big deal about this because it was really a confirmation of what we already knew at so many levels, but it hit the mainstream. And it was when Dr. Oz, like Dr. Oz for the Dr. Oz show, mm-hmm. when Dr. Oz did a show on energy medicine. And contrary to what people thought would happen with that show, what really did happen was an aha moment. They call it a tipping point in a lot of circles. In media, we call it a breakthrough. When somebody that is, let's say well-known, respected, all of the things that go with that, best friends with Oprah, when somebody like that comes out and makes a statement the way that he did mm-hmm. on that day, and the statement was that energy medicine pretty much is the future. It is the new frontier. It could be the final frontier. When that statement got made on that show, there was a gasp. People were gasping. And the people that were gasping were the people that had been practicing energy medicine for decades, generations, hundreds of years, thousands of years, almost in relief to say finally.
Yeah.
But what happened after that was really unprecedented, because there was an echo. Energy medicine and what we're talking about, energy medicine, right? And modern Western medicine, we talk about them as if they're two. I want to hear your thoughts on that. Because many of the doctors that I've talked to over time, over years, acknowledge a sort of energy of things. Mm-hmm. Minimally, they acknowledge prayer. Hello, what is prayer, right? Mm-hmm. But what's your takeaway from that? What are your thoughts about that? And do you believe, kind of like Dr. Oz, I think, was saying at some level, you know, women has sort of been leading the charge on this in so many ways?
I think that's true. And it comes to my mind that the reason for that is because it's uncharted territory. There is no male authority of energy massage or energy healing and energy medicine. It's an open playground. And it feels as though it's become a very safe place for a lot of women to step into, because there isn't that masculine authority. And because energy medicine treats the body as a holistic system, and it looks at emotion, it asks, how are you feeling, instead of what's wrong? It becomes a space and a language that women can navigate with a greater ease than perhaps the compartmentalized blocking off of body parts that seems to be the mechanism for Western medicine, male model medicine. Mm. I feel like I think Dr. Oz is right. I think energy medicine is the next frontier. I think it's actually here. We're at the frontier. This is the Wild West of energy medicine right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of things that can happen because of that. You can get amazing people showing up in their full capacity to really explore with an open mind what's possible for the human being to accomplish in terms of well-being and health and strength and all of that. You also can get a lot of people who have specific ideas, but there's no framework, there's no research, there's no basis or foundation for what they're saying or what they're offering. And because there isn't a governing body for energy medicine, at least not in Canada, it can be challenging for people to know what they're getting when they deal with an energy medicine person. At least when they go to the doctor or they go to emergency, they know what they know what to expect, right? They've done it before. They understand what their role is and who they are to play in that dynamic between themselves and the doctor. But when somebody walks into an energy medicine healer's practice and the energy medicine healer says to them, "You're going to do the healing, and I'm going to hold space and give direction for that healing, but it's actually all up to you. You're completely responsible for your well-being." A lot of people don't know what to do with that because that's not what they've been taught. So it's exciting in that there's lots of opening, there's lots of opportunity for an openness of dialogue and conversation around what is healing and what does it mean to feel good and what is it that our body is capable of doing. And there's a lot of hard science behind it now as well, which supports what healers have been saying for hundreds of years, thousands of years even. It's still an unknown. It is still the Wild West when we talk about energy medicine. But what I would love to see is a bridge built between energy medicine on one side and mainstream medicine on the other. And I tell this to my students all the time. I'm not putting energy medicine on a pedestal and saying that it is better than or is the only way to go. Both practices, both disciplines have brilliance to offer the human being in terms of their health and their well-being. But I feel like both sides need to be able to acknowledge the benefits that each can bring to one person's healing journey. And I'm seeing some of that, but I've already encountered places, even just in the last few months, dealing with my daughter and having to go into emergency, where that is so not the case coming from mainstream medicine. In fact, I had an emergency doctor say in front of my daughter and my stepmother and myself, I hope you're not going to see any of those energy medicine people, because that's just a bunch of quackery. He didn't know I was an energy medicine practitioner.
Wow. Well, no, right? I mean, I've been through the same thing. You know, it's interesting. Here's what this brings to mind. I remember interviewing, John Gray back in the day when he wrote the book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus.
Right.
I remember this interview, right? Because I thought about this book and I kind of said to myself, you know, like some days I think I'm from Mars sometimes, right? I don't think I'm always from Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this conversation with him as I was kind of in the middle of my own healing crisis, right? And it had to do with doctors, right? Mm-hmm. Had to do with doctors. And I don't remember the exact question, but I was listening to him, Megan, and all of a sudden something like this came out of my mouth. I said, you know, I don't know if I agree with you. And I said, the other thing is, I'm not sure how much of a bonus that concept is, men being from Mars and women being from Venus. Mm-hmm. And I went on to say something like this. I said, you know, I'm working with a bunch of doctors right now. I kind of wish they were from Venus.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so how does that work? Like when you're in the world and you really want men to be more from Venus and women to be more from Mars. I mean, where does that stereotype go? And so let's talk about that in the way that that plays out in the roles that men and women play as physicians.
I just remembered an experience I had when my older daughter was very, very young. She had a lot of health issues when she was first born, severe allergies. She did not sleep well, which meant I did not sleep well. And I took her to see a pediatrician who is a specialist, pediatrician specialist with infants and sleep struggles and health issues. And I brought my daughter to him. I was so exhausted. I was like a zombie. I should not have even been driving a car. I was getting so little sleep. And I was so worried, of course, for my precious little baby. And he looks at her and he pokes her and he prods her and he looks at her skin, which is all bumpy and full of eczema. And he says to me, finally, this was his final diagnosis. He says to me, "Well, you have a baby. You didn't expect it to be easy, did you?" And I was just devastated.
Yeah.
So everything that I'm worried about, everything I can see happening to my child, he's going to chalk it up that I'm essentially not a good mom, was kind of the takeaway that I got from that.
Yeah.
Like, suck it up, buttercup, put your big girl panties on and deal with it because this is what the first year of childhood is like. And it's not. But what I wondered in that moment was who in his household, because I knew he had children, who in his household got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and 5 o'clock in the morning to look after those children? And did he say the same thing to her? You didn't think it was going to be easy, did you?
Yeah.
No, of course I didn't think it was going to be easy, but it sure as hell shouldn't have been that hard. And had there been support, so somebody looked at my child and taken it seriously what she was going through, then it could have been easier, right? But that was the attitude that he had. So would it have been better if he'd been from Venus? Sure would have been. Might I have heard the same thing from a female pediatrician? Yes. It's possible because she's gone through the same system he's gone through.
I know, but you know, part of what we're talking about is at sometimes I think we forget we're actually just human beings. Mm-hmm. See, I think this is really what today's show is about, right? You know, we're talking about on the edge of medicine, mother healer, healer mother. And we're talking about, you know, what is it like to be both? Mm-hmm. And there becomes a question mark in a lot of people's minds, really. Some of them are experts, some of them are not. You know, the question is, you know, mother healer, healer mother, can you be both? But if you speak with a mother who is watching a child, and believe me, we've got a couple of hosts on the show now, you know, you're one of them, but there are many others on the show that know what it's like to have children and then go through a medical crisis with that child. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is, if you watch this, mother not only becomes healer, mother becomes healer, researcher, mm-hmm. advocate, champion, warrior, doctor, lawyer. There's nothing quite like watching the transformation of a mom. And I'm not saying dads don't do this, because I know, like Benny's got a couple of boys, dads do it too. Mm-hmm. But they carry a different level of weight with them in the doctor's office, which we're going to talk about when we come back.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget this. Somebody said to me once when I was facing a room full of doctors in my own healing journey, you better bring your friend Joe with you. And I thought, well, Joe, like, because I carried a room full of women with me. And the comment was, you better get Joe. You better bring him with you to that meeting. And I didn't realize till after the meeting how absolutely right that was in so many ways. We're going to talk about that and much more when we come back. Playing on the Edge Radio, Megan Edge, Radical Change with Ease, On the Edge of Medicine, Mother Healer, Healer Mother. We'd love to hear your story. Love to hear from you. 1-800-930-2819. And for those of you that are following on Facebook, what is it like for you to either be Mother Healer, Healer Mother, or know what it's like to have a mom that had to step in on your behalf? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to tell you lots more about Megan, how you can find out more about her, what she's up to, the confident healer, all of the above. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about what happens when this exactly does happen. What happens when it does become personal? Who do you want your mom to be? Who do you want to be able to become as a mother? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Join Angie Corbett-Kuiper on her hit show, Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbett-Kuiper.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Matanga with Grow Your Soul Radio. Life is full of challenges and surprises. Your guidance is to move with the current, for it is in resisting the flow that creates problems. Ask your angels to help you open up your mind and heart to new ideas and fresh options. When you accept the possibility that there are other ways, previously unseen doorways will be open to you and you will move easily through change. There is a solution to every problem, so look at things with eyes of love and expectation. Then your life force will flow freely through you. You will feel healthy and alive and will be able to access the necessary resources and wisdom within yourself to help you through change. I'd love to take this journey with you. Visit my website, enlightened-path.com, so we can explore all that is possible.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Playing on the Edge Radio. Megan, before we talk about this, before we talk about what happens as a mom when this situation gets personal? Mm-hmm. And I say mom because today we are talking about moms. Yeah. But I want to acknowledge all of the men out there that have taken on very traditional mothering roles, mm-hmm. right? Because that's new for, I tell you, for you guys out there, man, that is like a new pair of shoes that just exactly don't fit you right. And so,
So true.
Mm-hmm. Before we talk about what happens when it gets personal, another way to say it is what happens when, oh, wait a minute, it's in my backyard now. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about some of the things you're doing, how people can become more involved, what you're up to, all of the above, how people can find out more about you.
Thank you, Pat. I want to share that one of my biggest goals in life, or one of the thing that drives me, is wanting to see more healers out in the world, whether you are male or female. If you feel like you're a healer, if you know that you have that capacity to hold an entire person and their complete journey, and you want that to be the work that you do, then I want you to come and talk to me about that, because this is what I've created out of my own work now, is a whole system to teach other people how to become healers with a capital H, not Dr. Mom or Mr. Fix-It, but actually healer who knows how to do their own journeying work and then to be able to hold space for others. So to that end, I've created a couple of certification programs that I now offer. And one of them is called the Confident Healer. And this is an intensive intuitive healer certification program. We're actually in our fifth year. I shouldn't say just offering it. It's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. We'll be graduating another four amazing women into the world in June as our fifth class that's gone out. So the Confident Healer is a 10-month healing program, and registration opens for that this April, and classes start in September. And then the intuitive energy massage is a healing technique, an energy healing technique that I've created out of all of my work, all of my own learning, all of my own experience. And that's, we've got three levels of mastery with that one. So level one, level two, and then you can become a master teacher in that as well. And that one is as well. It's open to men and to women to learn a different kind of energy healing technique. All of that information you can find on my my website, which is meganedge.ca, www.meganedge.ca. And then I've also created just recently a really fun program, which is called the 8 Power Steps to Becoming a Master Manifestor. And this is my first fully online live 8-week course. And we're having such a ball with it, Pat. It's so much fun. We're in our 5th week from the inaugural group. I'm wearing red today because that's the power color we're working with this week for manifesting. It's a really fun, lightweight way to come and work with me, and you can do it from anywhere in the world. And yet, just like with all my other courses, there's still a lot of healing work that you do. We go deep into your own wounds around what you feel you deserve and your self-worth and money wounding and money language and finances and abundance and all of these amazing, wonderful, wonderful things. So lots of different ways that you can work with me. And if you don't want to work with me personally, go over to my YouTube channel and you can watch from the privacy of your living room all of the amazing workshops I've given and trainings and teachings that I have over there. And that's Megan Edge Healing on YouTube.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, this is all in the spirit of what we're talking about today too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's actually very important, you know, because one of the things we're talking about now is why, you know, why is it that we are so passionate about this? Why is it you're so passionate about this? And so now, you know, we dig deep into some of the things we say yes to. And one of the things you said yes to is your work as a healer and, yeah, you know, teaching others to be a healer. But, you know, let's look at this. What is your philosophy about that? And then, you know, you're both healer and mother. How did those two things blend?
They come from the same source, actually. When my youngest daughter was first born, she was covered with eczema. We knew something wasn't right from the very beginning. She was constantly colicky. She was throwing up all the time. Over a period of about 6 months, we determined that what she had was severe life-threatening allergies. So I had to learn in a very short period of time, not only how to be a mom to this little tiny being who had chosen me to be on this journey with, and all of that, I mean, that's in itself is a huge learning curve. Then I had to realize that she had these digestive issues that were literally life-threatening. We actually almost lost her when she was 2.5 years old. She stopped breathing after having had a half a pecan. And we really started to understand the severity of what she was going to be living with. And so along with just learning how to be a mom, I then had to really step into full on being my daughter's healer. I started to educate myself about allergies. I really didn't have a lot of empathy, to be perfectly honest, for allergies before. It wasn't my experience. I didn't grow up with them. Nobody I knew had them when I was growing up. So to suddenly be thrust into this and to see this little baby who clearly is having a reaction to her environment, it's nothing she's making up, it's nothing she can control. It just really opened my eyes to what it is like to be in that kind of a state where your body doesn't feel like it's supporting you in the way that it should if it was in ideal health. So I became an advocate for her at a very young age and educated myself around what it meant to only be able to eat certain things and how we were going to set up the household and the kitchen and birthday parties and all of these things to keep her safe. And as I was doing that work for her, that's when I discovered my own healing crisis of fibromyalgia, which I'd been living with for decades and didn't know because no one had been able to give it a name. I just kept going to see specialists and doctors and moving through it and pushing through it and being told it was all in my head, being told the big toe doesn't know what the ear is thinking. And I learned through my approach to the fibromyalgia that I had autonomy and I could create empowerment for myself. Instead of feeling victimized by a condition, I could look at the how of this condition, the source of this condition, the where and the why of it. Not from a judgmental place or a critical place or a victim place, but from a place of wanting to better understand the bigger picture of the story that I wrote for myself before I came here into mm-hmm. this lifetime, with a belief that these kinds of crises, when they show up in our lives, they show up for a reason. There's something there for us to look at because our body is crying out for attention. That's the big picture thinking that I go to with a lot of my clients, and I teach my students how to do. But I have to tell you, Pat, when it's my own daughter,
yeah,
and this current healing crisis, I don't want to look at the big picture.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about the journey. One well-meaning friend said, when I told her right at the very beginning what was going on last December, and she said, well, you know, blessings to you and your daughter on this journey. I wanted to smack her. I'm sorry, but I did. I was like, that's not what I need to hear right now.
Yeah, I like the other one too. You know, things like this happen for a reason, mm-hmm. you know, because I remember, you know, that being said to me, and I hear so many other people say it, mm-hmm. even if that's true. Yeah. Even if that is true, that is certainly not the space that one is in when you're trying to save another's life.
That's exactly it. And I do believe that. I'm a proponent of life has purpose and life has reason, and everything has purpose and has reason. But it doesn't mean that we need to know what that is in the moment mm-hmm. that we are required to immediately show up, nor is it always the most helpful place to start. You know, the more helpful place to start, I think, for that well-meaning friend would have been to say, oh my gosh, are you okay? Is your daughter okay? I'm here for you. What do you need? Right? That's, to me, how you show up for somebody who's in that moment of really just needing to stamp their feet at the universe and say, how come, why, you know, on top of everything else. And I was thinking about this the other day. In 10 years from now, I could probably have a conversation with my daughter when she's 27.
Yeah.
Say, hey, hon, you remember that time, that thing that we all went through? What do you think that was all about? Right? Like, now the crisis is over and we found the solution and you're all healed up. Let's look at the bigger picture. You know, I could take her there, but not right now. That's not going to help her. It's certainly not going to help me be there for her. Right? And this is this whole idea of immersing myself in, I am her mother.
Yeah.
First and foremost. And I knew that right from the beginning. I mean, I've known that all the way along, 17 mm-hmm. years I've known that. But it was when she said to me, when this all first started in December and her symptoms showed up overnight, and she said, Mom, you work so hard and you look after so many people. I don't want to be a bother.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because this now really points directly to the dual role that mother healer mothers play. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a dual role. Yeah. And, you know, it's really funny about this, because we know as human beings, we're capable of wearing multiple hats.
Mm-hmm.
But women generally have been categorized as a little bit emotional.
No, just a little.
Yeah, just a little.
How about hysterical?
How about hysterical? And yet at the same time, in order for you to show up as your daughter's advocate, mm-hmm. not only, you know, is it your role to make sure that you're emotionally connected, but you also have to show up as persistent, as knowledgeable, mm-hmm. you know, as inquisitive, as curious, as unwavering, all of those things.
And as a bit of a pest, actually.
Well, quite more than a pest. But let me ask you about this, because let's kind of move over to talk about modern medicine for a minute, if we could, and mm-hmm. go ahead and skip the break too, because I want to make sure we get to this. You know, now enter the world of modern medicine. And yet at the same time, we're looking at modern medicine not being able to keep up with the degree by which we need healing/cure.
Yeah.
For the amount of illness that is surfacing across the globe in many, many ways. Now I don't get me wrong. We have made superior advancements, mm-hmm. you know, what modern medicine does. I mean, the fact that we can take a heart and replace it with a robotic.
It's incredible. Heart, absolutely incredible.
I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But yet, even with all of our advancements, the world of natural medicine is advancing exponentially as well.
Let's talk about that. Well, I wish there was a language. I wish there was a common language between natural medicines or alternative medicines or herbal medicines.
Yeah. How about like medicine?
Medicine. Like, let's just call it, yeah. Can we call it medicine? So that when I'm talking to an emergency doctor and I say, well, here's what we've tried so far. You know, we tried, she's got this chronic nausea condition. And I said to her, well, we've tried ginger. And he said, ginger? What's that good for? Why would you give her ginger? Give her Gravol. I said, well, first of all, Gravol's a medication. And secondly, it didn't touch the nausea. Anything that I had suggested that we had tried to do that was more naturally based was poo-pooed almost immediately. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we think that part of what precipitated her symptoms might have been a very heavy-duty anti-nausea medication called ondansetron that is given to chemo patients for that level of nausea. And for her, it didn't touch her nausea at all. And within 4 days, we took her off it because there was no effect, at least that we could see. And then this mobility disorder shows up literally 2 days after she stops taking the medication. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know that that's what caused it, but we also can't get anyone to look into it for us.
Right.
Right. Because on the one hand, they don't want to believe that ginger could be helpful. And on the other hand, what I've experienced is that they don't want to know that their medicine may have been the cause of what happened.
Right.
Right.
And yet, you know, look, how far back do we need to go? Really far back, using that one example you gave. I don't know about you, but I can go far back and the alternative for an upset stomach or the remedy for an upset stomach was ginger ale or some form of, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it and you think about what grandma or grandpa or somebody out there would give you, mm-hmm. it was in the form of something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, from your perspective, you know, and the show today is about mother healer, healer mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it going to take so that we simply all of the knowledge we have, all of the wisdom, all of the brilliance we have in humanity, we just simply show up with solutions to save lives?
Wouldn't that be amazing? And I believe that that is the intention behind modern medicine. Absolutely, it is. I really want to be very clear. I'm not bashing modern medicine at all. I've had 17 surgeries in my life, Pat, and most of them have been pretty major. I'm very familiar with mainstream medicine, and I'm very familiar with some of the amazing and brilliant and incredible doctors and nurses and support staff that are out there. I've also gotten into screaming matches with healthcare providers over my pain medication at certain times. Like, there's this dichotomy of people who seem to think they know everything and what is right, and those people who are in modern medicine who are really trying to create a sense of empowerment for their patients. As a mother, when I step across that threshold into the doctor's office or into the emergency room, what I have experienced on behalf of my daughter is how invisible I suddenly become to the doctors who are in attendance. I was shocked when I first noticed this, because having been in the medical system for myself personally and had to advocate for myself personally, I hadn't really seen it because the doctors had to deal directly with me. I was their patient. But here I am, the mother who knows her daughter better than anyone, except for my daughter, who knows herself the best, of course, but whose opinion is suddenly not even acknowledged, like literally to the point where the doctor wouldn't look at me when I was talking. And you talk about hysterical, you know, women are hysterical. Well, I think the mother mama bear who walks into emergency with her child in tow is going to be viewed most prevalently as hysterical and be dismissed. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah, just, you know, my advice to anybody that sees a mama coming with the child in tow, get out of her way. That would be my advice for people that are looking at that. You know, and the same goes for the dads. You know, if you're watching somebody come in with a child that is in a critical state, you know, you're not really dealing with the logical, rational, linear. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with the state of emergency. And yet one of the things that I've had to learn, and I'd love for you to talk about it, is do you think as women, we need to toughen up a bit when we walk into the doctor's office?
Absolutely.
And I say that in a way based on my own experience. You know, yeah. I tried kind of the nice way.
Mm-hmm.
Until my two doctors started to fight with each other. And then I'm like, okay, this is bizarre. I'm just trying to save my life here, folks. Come on, mm-hmm. get over it. Mm-hmm. What does it take for someone to be the mother healer, healer mother?
I can only speak to my own experience on that. And I will share this from a place of true vulnerability. I didn't want to have children until I felt that I was strong enough in myself that I could be their absolute defender and advocate. And not just in the medical system. I'm talking about teachers. I'm talking about strangers on the street. I'm talking about really stepping into that mama bear energy. It is not something that I grew up with. I grew up with a very timid mother. And kind of a timid father to some extent, or at least a father who wasn't as deeply involved in my healthcare. So I couldn't stand up, right? But there was something about authority. There was something about the white coat. And my mother would become this 1950s acquiescent, yes, doctor, you know, and always call the doctor by the doctor's name, not by the first name, although they would call her by her first name. You know, that whole stereotype, mm-hmm. that's what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And I yeah. recognized that that wasn't healthy because it meant that she didn't know how to stand up for me. And so mistakes were made when I was little around my health because she didn't feel that she could. She didn't know that that was her role. So I made a pledge to myself and any children that I might have that until I am prepared to have a voice on their behalf, and that means me finding a voice on my behalf first and foremost, I wasn't ready to invite children into my life.
Mm.
So I will say I was not 100% ready to invite children into my life. When they did come into my life, I was ecstatic to have them. But I remember being really worried that first couple of months, especially with all of her healthcare or health concerns, thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can stand up to the white coat or if I'm going to fall back into an old pattern of giving respect to authority that hasn't yet earned my respect.
Wow.
Just because you're wearing a white coat doesn't make you a good doctor. It just means you're a person wearing a white coat.
Right.
Show me you're a good doctor. Demonstrate to me that you're a good doctor. And part of that means listening to what I'm telling you and what I'm saying, because that's where the clues are going to be to what the situation is that I'm experiencing or that my child is experiencing. With this wow. particular crisis, I feel like my mama bear is full on right beside me, even in front of me with some of these interactions. And the result has been that in a very short period of time, we've been able to see some of the most special specialists who are really taking this seriously. Not all of them. We've had one or two events that were not. I think one of the doctors said, just have her sleep more. She'll be fine. It's not neurological.
Wow.
But that notwithstanding, in a very short period of time, in a medical system that's very bogged down, has huge long wait lists of up to a year or more, in 3 months, we've gone from the immediate problem or the immediate symptoms showing up and going to emergency 2 days later to now working with the specialist, the neurological psychiatric specialist for neurological functional disorder, movement disorder. And he's coming up with solutions that nobody had even suggested before as being possible. And this is unprecedented in the Canadian health system.
Wow.
So it's working. That's what I'm saying, right? My getting on email and my spreading the word and telling everybody in my circle of friends and colleagues, this is what we're going through. Like that, honestly, Pat, that is probably the best thing that I've done for my daughter this whole way through, is to not be in isolation myself, but to step out, send out emails, let friends know, here's what we're going through. What do you think? Who do you know? Who can you put us in touch with? So that it's our whole community that is helping us with this situation, instead of me feeling like I can't tell anyone what's going on, or I can't say anything about what's going on, or people are going to judge me, or I'll be embarrassed. None of which is true. But it's where I might have been 20 years ago if I'd had children in my early 20s and I didn't know any differently.
I know. I mean, a part of this too, and doing the show and doing what you do in the world and teaching others how to do what you do in the world is really to move this conversation forward so that the conversation then becomes a conversation turning into action, turning into advocacy. And, yeah. you know, the old saying is knowledge is power. And yeah. so part of getting knowledgeable is studying with you, is becoming skilled, is learning that the journey is learning. It's not about an end game.
That's right.
So thank you for doing the show today. I know this was personal. And, you know, sometimes it does take life or the recognition of life to be personal for us to step out and persevere. So thank you for doing that. What's your message? What do you want to leave us with, Megan? And again, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Pat. I really want to remind everybody of what their own authority is, to know yourself. And if you find places within yourself where you feel like there could be improvement, then go and make the improvement so that you can stand in your best version of yourself. I love the work that I do because I get to advocate on behalf of all of my clients and all of my students. And oftentimes, Pat, I'm advocating on behalf of them for themselves, right? To demonstrate that they do have the capacity to really stand in their own autonomy and that they have the capacity to heal themselves or find the healing that they need. With that.
Wow. Thank you. Please give out your website again. Let folks know how they could also study with you and all of the above. Thank you for today.
Thank you, Pat. You can reach me at meganedge.ca. You can find me on Facebook under Megan Edge Healing or Megan Edge. Send me a friend request. You can learn all about my courses and programs through my website. We're also on YouTube. I have over 300 videos on YouTube, training videos, wisdom videos, workshops that I've done. I've written this beautiful book, The Heart's Journey, and sent those cards out into the world. So
awesome.
Many ways that you can reach me, and I would love to hear from you.
Megan Edger, everybody. I'm Dr. Pat. Remember that the call to action is simply you. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network, providing you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. If you've missed any part of this episode or want to find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.